possession in. There'll be 2 minutes of stoppage time. Man in the box if he can get it across. And he has it off the line. Shot on goal. And it's turned in. And surely this time, Theo Walcott has won it.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero.
That's got a serious header. And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma. Strepitosa in questa via.
Fabregas, it's Nasri. Can he go all the way here? Still Nasri. Looks for Ashani. Wonderful play from Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's philosophy put into practice. And not even Barcelona can come up with an answer.
And oh!
Seattle Sounders in red, green, Toronto FC in red from head to toe. Cut back there from Osorio, feeding it through. Jermaine Defoe, an opportunity for his first MLS goal. 16 and a half minutes into his
Just listening to that intro, I just realized that I probably have to change it now that Jermaine Defoe doesn't play for TFC. Which is more work for me, but anyways. Welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Joe will be with us in the second half of the show where we discuss our top five. But in the beginning, I'm going to discuss, you know, regular goings-ons in the world of football this past week. We've had the North London Derby, we've had the Merseyside Derby, we've had a couple of things go on in La Liga, big signing in the Bundesliga as well, and we've had the African Cup of Nations final. So we'll discuss all that in this show. But before we get into all of that, as usual, you can get us on the website, www.footballweekly.com, football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L. You can get us on Twitter, at Reginald Dino. We also have a new forum. Football Weekly has a new forum. You can get to it from the website as well. If you navigate to the website, there's a tab at the top called Forum. And in that forum, you can start a topic. You can respond to other people's posts. It's pretty much we're going to run a gamut of everything. We're going to talk about tournaments, Copa America, AFCON. We're going to talk Euro. We're going to talk World Cup, Champions League, Europa League, whatever you guys want to talk about. This is your community. You create the posts, you create the topics, and you have other people within the community respond to whatever you've written. There's sections for the different type of leagues. There's sections for La Liga. There's a section for Bundesliga. There's a section for EPL, Serie A. There's a section for different players. Well, not different players, but players in general. If you want to start a topic about who you think the best player in La Liga is or whatever. There's also a section for the video gamers out there that love to play FIFA 15 or FIFA 14 on PS3, PS4, or Xbox. You can leave comments there and tactics and whatever you want to talk about within the video game in that section. And there's a general section as well if you want to talk about, you know, a shoe that you bought and you want to give a review or tell people to stay away from it or whatever. There's also there's Canada and USA, NCAA, different leagues within Canada if you want to leave comments about that stuff. So there's a whole gamut of stuff that you can run through on the forum now. So that's there on the website as well. And as usual, you can get us through iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn, Player FM, and there's also 100 different ways you can subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe via email. You can get an email every time there's a new episode on if you don't want to subscribe or download. So it'll send an email to you telling you exactly when a new posting has occurred. So as usual, sit back, relax, take in the Football Weekly Podcast. So we'll be back after this. So today I was sitting in the Cave de Man, for those of you that don't speak French, that's Man Cave, and I was watching all the EPL, midweek EPL games, well not all of them, I only stuck to Arsenal versus Leicester, but The Liverpool-Tottenham game started 15 minutes later, so when the Arsenal game was in, was at halftime, still have 15 minutes of the first half to watch of the Liverpool-Tottenham game. Arsenal won, by the way. They won 2-1. Goals from... Who the hell scored today? Goals from Walcott and... Koscielny. Walcott and Koscielny scored. They won 2-1. They made it way harder than it should have been. Way harder than it should have been. But they still came away with the 3 points, which at this time of the season is the most important thing. But anyways, I was watching that game, and then I was switching back and forth between the Liverpool-Tottenham game at Anfield. I was witness to something that no one has ever seen. Well, making it a little bit more dramatic than it is, but Mario Balotelli scored today. First goal in the Premier League for Liverpool after, well, how many months has it been now? 3-4 months of playing. First goal for Liverpool. It was a good goal. Like I tell people, if you're a striker, just being in the right place at the right time, that's a skill. And he was in the right spot at the right time, and he was able to score. So congratulations to Mario Balotelli. I don't know why it took him so long, because Africans usually do well in the Premier League. So I don't know why Ghanaians especially, Michael Essien and even John Pansel, who played for Fulham for a little bit. You know, Ghanaians take to the EPL like duck to water. So I don't know why it took him so long. But then I know you're going to tell me he's not Ghanaian, he's Italian, but he's Ghanaian. Because Inter fans told me that there's no such thing as a black Italian, so how can he be Italian then, right? Right. Parents are from Ghana, born in Ghana. He's Ghanaian to me. Italian passport, and Italy did everything they could to get him, and they didn't. So, well, he was adopted by an Italian family as well, so I guess that helps too. But anyways, we won't get into that. Well, maybe we'll get into that a little later, or maybe down the road. So yeah, Liverpool beat Tottenham, which is good for Arsenal, actually, who lost to Tottenham last week in the North London derby. Last weekend, there were a couple of derbies in EPL. There was one in La Liga as well, Atletico versus Real. But the Merseyside derby, Liverpool versus Everton, ended 0-0. And the North London derby ended 2-1 in favor of Tottenham at Scheidhart Lane. So, Saturday wasn't a good day, I can tell you that. And as much as you guys don't think it, some of these games do affect your mood for the rest of the day. Maybe a little too much, but I can tell you the 2 hours after that game, I was pissed, but whatever. Subsided throughout the day. Beer helps, but whatever. So, getting back to the games today, and excuse me, all Liverpool fans out there, but I just have I don't know what it is. Well, I do know what it stems from, and I'm not the biggest Steven Gerrard fan. I think he's overrated. So, I mean, every time Liverpool plays, I cheer for the other team. Except today, because they were playing Tottenham, which was our rival. So I wasn't cheering for them today. I was actually cheering for Liverpool today, standings-wise only, because Tottenham was ahead of us. And if we won, we would leapfrog them. If they won, if Tottenham had won as well, it'd be status quo for us. But since we won and they lost, we leapfrogged them into third place. And, you know, at this point of the season, you know, all the points are much more appreciated. This is the part of the season where you're going to see what teams have what type of gusto to go forward. But getting back to Liverpool, I don't know if it's me. It's just every time I see a Liverpool result, there's always a penalty shot, and it's always on the cop end at Anfield. maybe it's just maybe I don't see every result and it's just the ones that I'm seeing, and I'm creating my own pattern. And it'd be very interesting if I went back and looked at how many home games they had and how many penalty shots they get. It just seems like they always are able to get a penalty shot, which Steven Gerrard takes. And at the end of the season, he'll have 12 goals from the midfield, and he's so spectacular, but it's 12 penalty shots, in all honesty. I don't rate Jordan Henderson. I might rate Sterling a little bit. When they had Suarez, it was lights out for them. And Sturridge was benefiting from having Suarez, because most of the defenses were targeting Suarez, leaving Sturridge maybe 1-on-1 or maybe 1-on-0. So now that Sturridge is the man, we'll see what he can do. He's back from injury now. He scored a goal on his debut. So we'll see what he has to offer. I don't rate Skrtel. He's a rapist. He's got his hands all over you when you're playing defense. He's just a dirty rapist to me. Mignolet, he's not the goalie everybody thought he was. I think Liverpool, historically, been there forever. Hillsborough tragedy, we bring it up every year, and it's 3 months long celebration or remembrance for the Hillsborough tragedy. And it was a tragedy. I'm not diminishing that at all, but, you know. Well, actually, no but at all, actually. It's just something about Anfield. It's something about that red. It's something about Steven Gerrard and Jordan Henderson and Skrtel. It just rubs me the wrong way. And I would love to see Liverpool lose every single game. Every season. Love it. But that was just an aside. I didn't want to get into a Liverpool bashing session, but that's just an aside. That's just an aside. So what I'm going to do next week for the next week's show is I'm actually going to go back through all the games that they've played at home this season and see how many penalty shots in Champions League and league games that they've benefited from. It'd be interesting to see. I swear to you, every time I look at the score, because I'm in a fantasy league and I'm looking at who scored and who got a shutout and whatnot, and I'm looking and I'm always seeing Steven Gerrard, PK, Steven Gerrard, PK, and it's just like every home game they get a penalty shot. Every home game they get a penalty shot. But anyways, not going to talk about that. There was another derby game in La Liga, Atletico versus, this was last weekend, Atletico versus Real Madrid. Real Madrid took a spanking. He took a real spanking. They lost 4-0 to Atletico. I don't have the goal scorers in front of me right now. But La Liga is getting tight. The race is back on in La Liga for sure. Real Madrid's at the top with 54 points. Barcelona's second with 53. And Atletico Madrid closes the gap to 50 with 50 points. So that's a tight, tight, tight race. And the next El Clasico is March 22nd at the Nou Camp between Barcelona and Real Madrid. But by that time, we'll have a clearer view on how important that game really is. Because if you were to bet money, you wouldn't think that Real Madrid would lose to Atletico. Even though Atletico is a good team and have the ability to beat them, you would think that Real Madrid would be able to squeak out a 2-1, 3-2 win over them. But to lose 4-0, and I'm not sure if Ronaldo even played, because I'm not sure if he was suspended for that game, because he did receive a 2-game suspension for for punching someone in the face or kicking someone and the guy grabbing his face. So whatever. The La Liga race is pretty tight, and we'll keep our eye on that, definitely. Every team that comes out of La Liga does damage in the Champions League anyway. As you can see in the round of 16, all three teams that made the Champions League from La Liga are in the round of 16, so definitely a great group, definitely a great league, sorry. Top three teams anyway are great, but solid. I watched the Atletico Barcelona game. I know I spoke to you about that a couple of weeks ago. It was a great game. It's a really great game. I didn't know that Atletico got 2 red cards before I watched it, or else I wouldn't have, but yeah, it was a great game up until the point where Atletico got the first red card, and I believe it was just before halftime they got a red card. So the second half, Barcelona man up. It's it's lights out, right? So that game could have been a great game, but and then they got another red card again, so the game was pretty much put to bed after that. Moving on to Germany, I told you there was a big signing in Germany. It's a re-signing, actually. Everyone's favorite target, Marco Reus, however you pronounce his name, has actually re-signed with Borussia Dortmund, which is kind of a surprise, because I think they're going to get relegated. They're in last place in the Bundesliga, and I believe they're going to get relegated. Now, I believe Mats Hummels will leave in the summer to where, I don't know, but I believe he'll leave in the summer. I believe Jurgen Klopp will be let go as well at the end of the season. So it was kind of a shock to me to read that Marco Reus, whichever way you pronounce it, re-signed with Borussia. He said he's from Dortmund area, so he wants to play for his hometown team. He's German, he's comfortable there. I get it, but I mean, I would get it more if you were in second, third, first, battling for Champions League. You're not going to be in Champions League. You're going to get relegated. I mean, I don't know the terms of the deal. Maybe he was offered way more money than he's making now. And, you know, it's kind of hard for players to leave their home country. You know, you're born there. Your dream is to play. If you could play professional anywhere, you'd rather play in your home country, I'm assuming. Well, I would, definitely. But just to go abroad and have to learn another language and, you know, you have to find a house, you got to move your girlfriend, your kids if you have, and put them in new schools. Or if they don't want to take your kids out of the schools that they're in right now, you got to, you know, you're going to be away from your family for a bit. You know, it's tough for players. And everyone says, oh, you're making millions of dollars, who cares, suck it up. And it's like, well, it's different, you know what I mean? You know, you go away on a vacation for a week and a half, whatever, you know, by the sixth or seventh day, you're like, yeah, I want to sleep in my bed. I want to go home. I want to get back into my routine of things. I want my bathroom. I want my kitchen. I want my, you know, I want to be able to drive over there and pick up this. You know, even though you're sitting in 40-degree weather and it's minus 20 here, and you're in 40-degree weather, you still, by day six, you want to come home and get back to your own comforts. So I know exactly what they're talking about. And it happened to me when I received a soccer scholarship to a school in the States. And after the second week, I was just like, I want to get the hell out of here. It was in Baltimore, Maryland. And I was just like, I want to get out of here. I want to be able to pick up the phone and talk to my friends. I want to be able to go to that restaurant. I want to be able to go to that bar. I want to be able to go, you know, hang out with my friends. I want to be able to, you know, just go play pickup over there or go play basketball over there. I know where everything is. And now you're in a different city. You don't know where anything is. You don't have a car. You don't know anybody. It's just lucky that I speak the language. I speak English. They speak English. So that's one obstacle that I didn't have to overcome. But I get it. I get it. When guys from Italy, and they've been in Italy their whole life, come to England, and now it's now play soccer and you better score. So I know it's tough for them. And people that think that they're just making millions of dollars and need to suck it up, have to look at it from their view and the human side of it as well. So, and with that being said, I mentioned Champions League, how Borussia Dortmund wasn't going to make it into Champions League. Champions League proper starts back up next week. The round of 16 starts up. And we'll definitely have a recap after all the games. I'm sure Joe will be itching to have a part on that show. And we might have another guest. I'm working on having another guest come in and talk Champions League as well. So stay tuned for that, definitely. And now we're going to discuss the AFCON final. Well, I can tell you, me being Canadian, but my parents being from Ghana, I've never had the opportunity to watch like a team that I'm cheering for in penalty shots. In a situation where the game comes down to penalty kicks. I've never had that opportunity. I've seen penalty kicks take place in World Cups and Euros and whatnot. But it's always, you're just watching it. You know what I mean? You're watching it to close out the game, to see how the game ends. And you can never really understand how someone's feeling that's supporting one of the teams in the penalty kick shootout until you're actually in the situation. And I was in that situation on Sunday. And it went to penalty kicks, and my stomach was doing butterflies, backflips. And I'm a million miles away from the stadium. I'm not even on the team. I'm not even chosen to take a penalty shot. And I'm nervous. So you can only imagine what the players are feeling. And the game was lackluster for me anyway. The touches and the passes were off from both teams. You can probably argue, I want to say they're the two best teams in Africa. But again, you're going to get Egyptians who say Egypt's the best. You're going to get some Nigerians who say they're the best. And whatever, Cameroonians, they're the best, whatever. But as far as progression through World Cups and ranking, FIFA rankings, if you even take those seriously, I don't, but if you take them seriously, Ivory Coast and Ghana are probably the two best teams in Africa. So, you know, Ghana's nickname is, a nickname throughout the world is the Brazil of Africa. So I'm waiting for these guys to put on a show. And I've watched them my whole life, so, you know, I'm waiting for them to knock, 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 get a chance. And it was difficult. It was difficult for them. They make two passes, three passes, and then fourth pass, it was wide. It was away and given away. And now we got to defend a counter. And it was the same thing on Ivory Coast side as well. Sloppy passes, you know, inaccurate passes. And it was just, it wasn't what I thought the game was going to be. And then you find out that, you know, it was raining a little bit, so the pitch was a little bit slick, but still at the same time, man, you know, the passing wasn't as sharp as it should have been, or as it could have been. You know, there's European stars on every team, numerous European stars on every team. So the passing and everything should be slicker than it was, but all in all, if I have to give the game a rating out of 10, I would give it a 6 or 7. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that African football is inferior, because I've seen some terrible European games. I've seen a lot of terrible European games. So I'm not saying that African football is inferior. It's just that I was expecting the best of the best. The two so-called best teams in Africa playing each other in the final, I thought it would be better than it was. But it was a little bit of a disappointment for me with my expectations. Like I said, I've seen terrible games all over the world. So Ghana hit the post twice, but I mean, outside of the post. So it really wasn't, I mean, you're another 2 feet to the left and it's a goal, but that's 2 feet. You know what I mean? So there wasn't really that many chances, but overtime didn't produce anything, so they went into penalty kicks. And it started off well for Ghana, who scored 2, and Ivory Coast missed their first 2. But then Ivory Coast just went on a tear, and they scored their next, I think, 8. Because it went to 9-8. It went to 20th kick, I believe. And it went down to the goalies. So Ivory Coast goalie took his penalty shot, and he scored. And the Ghana goalie stepped up and took his penalty shot the Ivory Coast goalie saved it. So, game over. And that was in sudden death. So, and the misses in the penalty shootout were bad. For the exception of Wilfred Bony, who hit the crossbar, everybody else missed the net completely. And it's just like, well, you know, just hit the, I don't care if they save it, just hit the net. I've been in that situation. I was in the Canadian National Finals under 16. And I stepped up and took a penalty shot, and the goalie saved it. And that was the one that we lost on. We got the silver medal because I didn't score. So, you know, it's a shitty feeling. Believe me, I've been there. I know how it feels. But at the same time, I wouldn't change anything about that, because, you know, I'll always put my hand up to take a penalty shot. I don't care what happens. You know, there's guys that shy away from it, like well, I'm not going to name names, but guys that shy away from it and guys that step up. And, you know, if you view yourself as a leader, you'll step up. So congratulations to the elephants of Ivory Coast, to the African champions. Yeah, well, another 2 years, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But in other news in Africa, just to end it off quickly, Morocco, who was supposed to host this year's African Cup of Nations, and they pulled out because of the Ebola scare. They didn't want to bring any fans or anything, any of the fans that might have it into their country to spread it throughout their people. They have been banned from participating in the next two African Cup of Nations for pulling out so late, because this was supposed to be in Morocco, and then Equatorial Guinea stepped up and said, well, we'll have the tournament. But I say stepped up, but, you know, the country's getting money to host a tournament. So it's like, you want to give us how much? Yeah, sure, have it here. You know what I mean? So that's not like they stepped up. It's not like they did it out of the generosity of their heart. It's, you're going to pay us? How much? Sure, have it here. So Morocco has been banned from the next two African Cup of Nations. So that's 4 years. That's a 4 year ban, pretty much. A two tournament, 4 year ban. So I don't know. I've never seen, Morocco doesn't really do much in the tournaments. There's a couple of players at El Tarap and Marouane Chamakh that people might know, but other than that, not many players from Morocco that people would know. But anyways, moving on, we're going to speaking of the African Cup of Nations, Joe and I are going to discuss our top five, and we're going to discuss top five African players of all time and North American players of all time last week. So this week, we're going to do top five African players of all time. In this segment, we're going to talk about our top five list. And this week's top five list is the top African players since the Africa Cup of Nations is coming to a close. We decided to do top African players of all time. So me being the host that I am, Joseph, would you like to start?
For sure. I'm excited about this list, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
So, okay, I just want to say, as I was compiling this list, I noticed that, wow, there's a lot of players. There's a lot of good players, which is a good thing.
There's tons.
Because, as I've, you know, told you guys before, my top five becomes the top five plus two.
Oh, yeah, always, right?
Always the bonus picks. So I'm going to give you my bonus picks. Okay, my two bonus picks. And some of you fans out there who are just, you know, recent followers of our beautiful game, or maybe younger and so on, might be shocked at the one I give you in my wild card picks. My first wild card pick or bonus pick is Samuel Eto'o.
That's a bonus pick?
Yeah, he didn't even crack my top five.
Okay.
But, I mean, he's a great player. I mean, he deserves a ton of credit. Won Champions League, won EPL titles. Great player. I mean, or sorry, I don't know if he won the EPL with Chelsea, but did he? No. I mean, now? No.
I don't think he did.
No, he might win one now. Yeah, it's Sampdoria now. Yeah. Get it straight. But anyhow, no. So, you know, was a great player at Barcelona as well. So, and, you know, one of Cameroon's best players.
Yeah, definitely. And he did start at Real Madrid too, right? So,
yeah, right? So from kind of present, he's present, I'm going to go way back and use a legend in my mind and in the African game. One of the goalkeepers doesn't get enough credit. Thomas Onkono.
Uh-huh, from Cameroon as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the Serie A fans out there, I know they love Gigi Buffon. Actually, this is Gianluigi Buffon's idol.
Oh, really?
People would be surprised to hear that. And, of course, Onkono came to fame. Actually, Thomas Onkono, he was even in the 82 World Cup, so he goes back. But he came to fame. And why would Buffon be his hero? 1990 World Cup. Mm. We all know what they did. And I guess, can I go right into my top five? So, in this one, I actually did do, you know, 5-1. So, I'm going to start with one that's going to be close to your heart. And I'll tell you why. Number five is Sammy Kufur.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. So, okay, Sammy Kufur, defender, and maybe in his later days wasn't a world-class type defender, but in his heyday, an African player playing center back for Bayern Munich,
yeah.
It was a big deal, right? That's a big deal.
For sure.
This is not today where African players are just like any other player. It was really difficult to get African players in big European sides. He was playing at Bayern Munich, center back. Number four I have Didier Drogba.
Okay.
Here I could have had Eto'o, but I mean, it kind of speaks for himself. Drogba's a legend at Chelsea, scorer anywhere he went. Really the modern-day, quote-unquote, striker. I think that's not a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm going way back. Everyone knows I love the throwback. What a guy. Abidi Pelé. Hey, Reggie, I mean, the Pelé of Africa.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
It speaks for itself. Groundbreaker, right? Broke in the European scene, mid-90s, Reg, am I right there, early 90s?
Yeah, with Marseille.
Yeah, right?
Came to prominence with them anyway.
But. Yeah, plays in Torino.
Yeah.
You know, like a legendary player. I mean, people don't really know this. I mean, if it was today, these guys would be getting a ton of credit with the internet and social media and all that stuff.
For sure.
Abidi Pelé, wonderful footballer.
His kids aren't bad either.
You know, not enough people know him.
Yeah.
Right? Paved the way for guys like Steven Appiah and so on. And Ghana have so many good players in the midfield. SDN, Muntari. I'm missing so many more.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And him and, well, I don't know your list, but I'm not going to name any more names. So we'll let you finish your list before I start.
Yeah, maybe again, number two. Yeah. Talk about World Cup legend Thomas Nkono. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to talk about him, you have to. You must talk about Rajamila.
Right.
Right, I mean, come on, scoring goals, the World Cup, beating Argentina. This guy is just, does he get the credit he deserves? Amazing player and an amazing, again, kind of path, trailblazer, I should say, and then setting the path for other young African players. In saying that, for me, everyone's going to think I'm biased because at this time, I guess it's like being a Maple Leaf and Chicago Cubs fan, AC Milan fan, but George Weah, World Footballer of the Year.
That's right. First and only, right?
He's my top African player of all time.
First and only. First and only African European player of the year, anyway.
He's, right? I mean, is he like, you know, that's like, again, I went with trailblazers in terms of the African game. So.
Well, again, Joe, I think we're going to have to go back and forth when we start naming our top five because we have pretty much the same list. at number five, I have Rajamila, just for what he's done and at the age he did it at.
Good point.
I mean, he was in the early World Cups, but people most remember him when they first hit the scene because in 90, in Italia 90, you know,
great scoring, run for Cameroon.
Scoring goals, going to the corner flag, doing the dance, right?
So, yeah, the dance, yeah.
That's what everybody really remembers him. Well, started to recognize him anyway. Number four, I have Didier Drogba as well from Ivory Coast. He's just, he's a winner. Everywhere he goes, he's won. Champions League, he's won leagues. He's a Ivory Coast all-time scorer. Good guy too as well. He has big charities. He builds hospitals in Africa and things like that.
Yeah,
so
he's got a voice, right? He uses his platform. Yeah, that's right.
For sure.
Yeah,
good guy.
Sure.
Number three, I have Michael Essien, the Bison. Yeah. My man. Yeah. My man.
Not a bad choice at all.
Tough midfielder. You know, used to own the record for the highest transfer fee for an African player until...
Rightfully so, because the top of the game, he was dynamite.
Yeah, for sure. When he was younger, it was just... You want a box-to-box guy? That's the guy you want in younger days. And number two, I have Samuel Eto'o. Where he's a bonus in yours. He's number two in mine.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show you the quality of African player.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
For sure. So I have him for all the reasons that we discussed. He's won everywhere he's gone to, right? Champions League, Barcelona, he's Inter.
Big teams, man. These are the best teams in the world.
Right.
Like, you know, at one point or another.
Oh, he was on them when they were the best teams in the world, too. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. At one point or another, he was always on... Well, not always, but he's made an appearance on many of the great teams in the world, right?
Right, exactly. And number one, George Weah, of course.
It's legendary. You have to.
Trailblazer, like you said, man. That's big. That's big for an African player to be named European Player of the Year.
This is in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Mid-90s when you don't have, and you know, people out there, we get it, right? We know our world is not perfect. Surprise, surprise. And we know that ugly R-word still exists today in racism.
For sure.
And unfortunately, Europe has fallen off in a lot of things on that. And he was facing that. You know, he was facing that. And in a major club at that time, like AC Milan, he was the best footballer on the planet.
Sure was.
And it wasn't even close in those years.
He was fast, he was strong, and he was technical.
Yeah, like I said, like there's no Fermi, there's no Drogba, there's no Eto'o, there's all these amazing players in the continent of Africa without a guy like, obviously, Roger Miller, but man, George Weah took it to a next level. George Weah, unfortunately, we all should have been believing this earlier, he made world clubs believe in the African player.
Well, for sure.
In my mind, right? And now today it's just, listen, this is not just because, you know, everybody knows Reggie's a huge Black Stars fan, Ghana fan, and African football aficionado, but it's coming from me, who's usually followed the European game. The African game and what that continent is bringing, it's only getting better. It's only getting better.
Definitely.
Also,
definitely.
The best is yet to come, and I'm glad that, you know, we mentioned that some of these guys, Eto'o, Drogba, Weah. My gosh, Weah ran for president of Liberia.
He sure did. Sure did. You know, he has a big political career.
Yeah, they have something to say, too. And it's maybe that's where they kind of, you know, blaze a trail even more for our North American athlete and so on. And maybe we'll do that one day, Reg. Not a role model, Charles Barkley. We'll talk about that. But yeah, that's our list, guys. And as always, hope you guys like it.
Well, definitely. There's now, like I said earlier in the intro, there's now a form that's connected to the website as well. So if you want to discuss anything in there, you can create your own topics and we'll definitely respond. And other like-minded or even people that don't agree with you can join the forum and we can have a nice discussion about different things. I definitely suggest you go out there and check it out. I'll give
you how wrong we are or right.
Oh yeah, of course, of course. If we said
you
something,
agree, disagree. Let us know your list, right? Maybe you guys have one, or if you say we got it wrong, hey,
right? There's
no
a
problem. Let us know.
There's a forum there that's just general talk, and you can talk about anything you want. And you can let us know if we were doing if we said something wrong, or you can get us an email, whatever. There's different ways to interact with us now, and with other subscribers and listeners too. So. We just added that this week, like I said in the intro, so definitely
check
go
out.
Check it out. Yeah, for sure.
Reggie, I don't know, maybe for our next list, like, you know, just going now. Just the mind's going here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about top African top players mm-hmm. who play for another country mm-hmm. but are of African descent?
Oh, buddy.
Because we have to make that a 10. We can't do that.
Oh, my God, buddy. It's not even fair.
Right? So, right? So maybe that's what we do. I don't know. We'll let you guys know. Reggie make the call on that. But we could have a huge list there.
Oh,
right?
Man. So, yeah, you'd have to go. You'd have to go 20, 25 deep there, man.
Yeah, for sure. Right? So something to think about.
For sure. For sure. Anyway. Foreign imports, for sure, for sure. And Samuel Eto'o is a Spanish citizen, too, right? So if he didn't play for Cameroon, he could be playing for Spain.
Right? I mean, imagine. I bet you we're going to see more and more of that as they go on. I mean, listen, we know these players are getting there earlier and earlier now, so.
Yeah, for sure.
But a nice thing about that is, I guess, just to, I know we spent some time on this, but is that the coaches that are understanding worldwide, they're going and they're getting involved on that continent of Africa much earlier.
Right.
And I think that's why you've seen these world-class players. Good thing for all of us.
Yeah, for sure. And the perfect segue into the next segment is coming off of our top five African players. We're going to speak about the AFCON Cup that's taking place right now in Equatorial Guinea. And we're down to the final four. Well, we were down to the final four. The last semifinal took place last night. In the first game, we have Algeria versus Ivory Coast, with Ivory Coast taking that game 3-1. Against Algeria, which is a big shock to me. Not that Ivory Coast beat them, but that Algeria is going home.
I think with Algeria, we saw the World Cup. We saw them, you know, play fantastic soccer against Germany. And, you know, not only Germany, like, this is a tough Algerian team. Does it speak more to, for me, does it speak more to Algeria, wow, shocked they didn't get through? I mean, they played Ivory Coast, right? We're all forgetting. I mean, I know we're not, but, you know, you guys, the listeners, too. Ivory Coast, Yaya Toure, you guys heard me and Reg talk about Yaya Toure and how his quality is. It's a quality side. They just happen to be led by Yaya Toure, but, you know, like, that's just cemented. I really thought Algeria would be in the final. Personally, as a fan, I was hoping to see Algeria and Ghana, but you can't really argue with this Ivory Coast team. And again, here we go again with, you know, Yaya Toure, and you want the best players in the world be playing in finals, right?
So exactly.
For me, I was shocked at Algeria, but
right.
Are we shocked, really, when You look at these power, a traditional African power, such as the Ivory Coast.
That's
true. And maybe now they're past a lot of the stuff that they had to go through, which was tough, right, for sure, especially with back to that gentleman again, Yaya Toure, and his brother, Cole Toure,
right,
losing a brother in the summer, right?
Right, exactly.
So, we talk about the stars have to be aligned in competitions. Listen, Ivory Coast has always had tough draws in all competitions, it seems. So, and again, Algeria is not an easy out. So, what a great celebration for the tournament.
Exactly. And that was a surprise with me with Algeria. But that's what you get when you don't win your group. Because the difference in winning the group and coming in second is you face a team like Ivory Coast in the semifinals, or you face a team like Equatorial Guinea.
You got to be rewarded for it, right?
Well, you do have to be rewarded for it, but I see it all the time in Champions League. Arsenal comes in second place, and now they got to play Bayern Munich next round. And now they got to play Barcelona the next round, and it's like the winner's going to, Porto or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. And, I talked about, having the chance to grow through it. So, you build up. So if you're a team that maybe didn't do well in the group stage and you finish second and you get through, and then eventually, who knows, it could even mean, even though you are facing tougher competition, mm-hmm. you do roll to the final.
Right, exactly.
When the field of the World Cup was smaller, I can remember, in 94, the year where Italy finished third in their group, but they were the best third place team
mm-hmm.
and went through.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, in other years too. So, but yeah, you should be rewarded for playing and winning your group, and exactly, that's what you get for that, right? You'll say, well, they had Equatorial Guinea. Well, hey, you tell me, at a major competition, what game is easy?
There's some games that are easier, we'll say.
Right.
Still not easy, but would you rather play Ivory Coast or would you rather play Equatorial Guinea? I don't see anybody saying they'd rather play Ivory Coast in the semifinals.
Undeniable, for sure.
So, I mean,
still going to get the job done, and Ghana did, right?
By goal differential, but it all counts, right? So,
hey, you got to be skilled to flip coins.
isn't that terrible?
I can't believe that's still around.
I can't believe it. And it's just like, are you going to flip a coin to see? For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, Equatorial Guinea. Was it Equatorial Guinea or Guinea? Was it Equatorial? It was Guinea.
Yeah,
it was Guinea and Mali that were tied
for
points. So instead of just picking five players and taking penalty shots to see who goes through, or playing, extra time or something like that, they said, no, we're going to flip a coin. Whoever wins goes to the, I believe it was the quarterfinals.
For God's sakes, couldn't they play FIFA or something?
Yeah, something.
I don't know. I mean, we sound like, come on, really?
But that's how we get into the whose briefcase was bigger argument for me anyway. Because I know something happened there, and it's not just
Reggie, I'm shocked a flip of a coin. Bring this up. Are you joking? Come on, all sports, all soccer directors, executives, they're all clean. What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, my fault. Yeah. I'm just starting shit. I guess. Sorry, guys.
Next, you're gonna tell me the IOC is clean. I'm with you, Reg. I mean, it's just nonsense, right? We're talking about big stakes, high stakes poker.
Exactly. You're going to get money for every stage of the tournament you go through, and to lose however many amount of dollars on a coin flip, they would never do. They wouldn't do this in the MLS. They wouldn't even do this in the MLS. You're doing it in a major international FIFA-sanctioned tournament? It's ridiculous. Not that it was. If my team was involved, if it was Ghana involved, buddy, things would have burned down. I swear to God. But anyways,
it's just nonsense, isn't it?
It is.
It's just really just nonsense. You can't understand it. It's like, we're supposed to buy it. This is supposed to be, like we said, an amazing. All these tournaments do it, though. That's the shocker.
Yeah, I would. I don't think we would. Would we see that in Euro? Euro 2015 or 2016?
Maybe this is where the listeners help us out. I think there's one of the rules is that. I'm going to be guessing that either it's taken out, but it was in there, and it did get taken out. It wasn't too long ago.
So if everything's tied at the end of the day, everything's tied. Goals, goal differential, how many guys are wearing pink shoes, everything's tied at the end. You think Germany and Spain are going to flip a coin? Is that what's going to happen?
Don't quote me on this. But I think it did happen. The rules were still in there. Not sure if it happened, but I know it's in there. At one time, it was.
It's disgusting. It has to go. It's disgusting. It has to go.
Pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Not just because it's African, but I don't think
it's just the African teams.
I know it's not, but it's just that is losing anything on a coin flip other than the kickoff is ridiculous. That much is at stake. It's stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah, I'm with you. Guys, just one quick little thing on the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
What about on the Asian Cup as well? Is the timing of it?
Yeah.
I know because of, what season it is in different parts of the world, but what do you think of the time of it?
Well,
like in the calendar.
I think they should move it to end of people's seasons, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know you have Euro and World Cup in the summers. Like, why can't you have...
I got it. But again, that's for our part of the world, everybody, so I get it. I understand we're bringing this Western bias. But I'm going to say this. Maybe. Maybe the quality of the soccer, the football, is better because these guys are not burnt out.
Right. They're in the middle of their season, right?
Just saying, right? I don't think that our World Cup that we just had in 2014, we talked about this, listeners, before, I think, in one of our first podcasts. I'm not sure they got the best quality out of our players.
Well, it's tough, man. You play a full season. If you're not playing in Spain, where there's only two other good teams in the one you're on, or if you're playing in Italy, where
they really don't even. Only this year they do.
You're coming from the EPL playing
four
game
or five
in.
Competition.
Oh yeah, and then your season finishes in May, and then in June you gotta face Brazil in the first game of the World Cup. It's tough.
It's tough, man. Just something to think about. I mean, listen. When we sit down with Seth Blatter, we'll let him know.
Yeah, definitely. I let him know a couple of things.
Reg, you gotta get this off your chest, big man.
Yeah, for sure. And what happened in Equatorial Guinea was a disgrace. And everyone's saying it's a disgrace. Everyone's going to say it's a disgrace. No one's going to say it was a good thing that happened there. But I get it.
You're not going to get arguments there, but...
I get it. But the same incident, not the same incident, but the same type of violence happened in a game, a European game, actually, against with Serbia and Albania a couple of months ago, I believe. A drone being flown by, I think, the owner of the, not the owner, but the president of Albania, his son, I believe the story went. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. But I believe it was his son who flew a drone over the field with an Albanian flag on it.
Yeah.
So the referee stops the game. Drone comes down a little. One of the players grabs it. One of the Serbian players grabs the flag, and then all hell breaks loose.
You know, Reg, I'm going to get on my soapbox here
a
little bit. This happens all the damn time.
It does.
I'm not saying that there has been a lot of, it's a disgrace, and it's a bad thing, of course. I just want to make sure that people don't, like I said before, don't just isolate this as, an African Cup and or when we hear about it in place in our world, right? It's not the Western kind of world. Because need we also remember, what about the game between Italy and Croatia?
Mm-hmm.
Where the Croatian fans, and I'm not saying it was just Croatian fans, that's what we saw mostly. And Croatia was, listen, does not be mean biased against,
right.
For Italy.
Right.
Italy was getting mopped up in that game. They were lucky to get out of there with a 1-1 tie.
Mm-hmm.
The fans started letting off flares and making a huge scene in the stadium, and they had to postpone the game for like 20 minutes or so and so on.
Right.
Everyone was worried about their safety. So this is not just something that the African continent is behind and stuff like that. No, we have to stop with that. And like if that's any of the thoughts, because I was reading some stuff, like this is a match between Italy and Croatia, two major quote unquote world powers, if you will. I mean, you guys know my opinion. These are the African teams that are right up there, if not ahead of them, some of them. Right? But this is we should deal with this as a problem worldwide still, right? Just kind of my two bits on that. Anyway.
Well, yeah, like you said, it's a problem. It's a problem worldwide, and many people, like we said in previous podcasts, I think in the last podcast, many people view African soccer as, not as great as European, and it's poor, people playing in their bare feet and dirt and all that type of stuff.
They need to start watching, Reg. They need to start
watching. Well, yeah, and that's how it was portrayed in the 80s and early 80s, and the late 80s and early 90s, but the update to all of that hasn't been seen by anybody in North America or Europe.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
there's academies in Africa now that are producing players. Wilfred Bonny just came from an academy.
Listen, if we think that Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, the list goes on, Rich. If we think that they're not highly invested in the African continent, I think we've literally just crawled under a rock.
Oh, exactly.
From under and said, "Hi, I'm here."
Exactly. All the big teams are another thing, gems in Africa. So, I mean, and I'm bringing this up because I was reading a couple of articles on this issue that happened right after the game, or a couple of hours after the game, and I can't tell you how many times I saw, oh, it looked like a war zone out there, and it's just like,
yeah, that's ridiculous.
Come on,
listen,
war zone?
Guys,
give
you
me
have a chance.
Break.
Go and check out Italy, Croatia, the last qualifier that happened.
Exactly.
It was in, you know, Milan, in San Siro. Go check it out. And again, no knock to the Croatian. Because listen, guys, yeah, no qualms about it. Italian soccer fan. Croatia played Italy off the damn park.
Right.
Rakitic was ridiculous. And Modric got hurt in that game. He was ridiculously good.
Mm-hmm.
Perisic, all the regular suspects who, on maybe another show, we'll talk about how great Croatia is as a soccer nation. Right. So that's it.
So that's the show for this week. Don't forget to visit the website, www.footballweekly.com, and check out the forum that we've created. You can leave comments about the episode that you just heard or previous episodes as well. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. There's also a bunch of other ways you can subscribe to it on the website as well. And like I said in the intro, you can subscribe via email as well. We have a team shop now, Amazon team shop, where you can buy gear. You can buy anything to do with soccer. You can buy it on our website as well through Amazon. You can get to us on Twitter at Reginald Dino. You can leave us show topic comments, show topic ideas, whatever you want to leave us. If you want to debate our top fives on anything, or just pretty much drop us a line, let us know how we're doing or whatever. You can do that on the forum, or you can get at us at Twitter. So, as usual, thanks for listening for the Football Weekly Podcast. Thanks, guys.